PromiseGod.net.
Hello, Brother Thomas. I've got a question for you.
Hello, Sister Mary. What you got this time?
Brother Thomas, I believe most people try to obey the Ten Commandments. Does God take their effort into consideration? And will that effort keep them from hell?
Well, okay, Mary, this is another good question. And many people that I have talked to come up with this same issue. Well, I'll try and keep the Ten Commandments and see if God will not let me enter. Certainly if I keep the Ten Commandments, God will allow me to enter into heaven and miss hell. We dealt last week about righteousness or man's goodness, and only to find out that man is not good. There are spots of goodness in man, but a line is either straight or it's crooked. If it has a dip in it, it's not a straight line. It's a crooked line. Man is either good or bad. Well, man has within himself good and bad, so that doesn't make him good. Just like that line is not straight. It has to be perfectly straight to be called straight. We can't be called good if we're not perfectly good. Just like a salt water, it's either salt or it's pure, but it's certainly not both. Some people go to religion, and I'm not talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about religion. Religion is where a person will set a certain amount or standard of rules for him to live by, hoping that this will justify himself or make himself right or get on God's good side, that he will allow them to go into heaven and to miss hell. There are many people that I've talked to in times past which says that they are trying to keep the Ten Commandments. And therefore, if they can keep the Ten Commandments, certainly God will let them in. This is being religious. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they're trying, again, by their own effort, to try to keep a set of rules or standards that are good in the eyes of man or maybe morally right. Remember what we talked about last time about the oily rags. God's not concerned about the part of the rag that had no oil. He's concerned about the part of the rag that had oil on it. Let's deal with this, and this is going to be a series, I can tell. Sister Mary, you'll have to come back again. But let's deal with what was the purpose of the law. What is the purpose of the law? And let me start off with this illustration. In Scripture, it talks about how that God will test his children like silver and like gold. In the days of old, the Israelites would take raw gold. It would be in a rough stone, chunk of stone. You couldn't tell it from a regular rock, really. But they would take pure gold and they would put it in these pots, chunks of rock. And they would have this earthen oven, and they would get it stirred up and roaring hot. And then they had this pot that I spoke about, in which they would take the chunks of gold and put in there. And this pot had a very long handle. And so they would take this pot by the handle and they would put it into the center of the oven. And there it would stay. And they would allow it to stay in there until the gold began to melt. When the chunks were completely melted and it was liquefied, they would take and remove the pot from the oven, and they would see that on the surface was not the color of gold, but a kind of dirty gray covering over the top. It reminds me of how the old timers would get cream to come to the surface of the milk. They would let the milk set, and they would put cheesecloth into the milk below the surface, and they would let the milk set, and the cream would come to the top. It was bitter. It was lighter, and you could see the layer. It was thicker. They would then take the cheesecloth and remove the cream, or they would remove it from the milk. They would separate it from the milk by using the cheesecloth. Well, this is the same way that the Israelites did with gold. There would be what is known as dross, and it would be the layer on top of the gold, and what it is, it's the impurities. Just like the old-timers took the cream off the milk, the impurities would come to the top, just like the butter would come to the top in milk. Then they would take a spoon-like instrument and take the impurities off the gold, and underneath there would be the gold color. Well, it is said, I looked up an encyclopedia and did a study on gold one time, and it is said that man has never, never gotten gold to its purest form. Because gold can be made pure each time you put it back into the fire. More impurities will come to the top. And again, you can separate it. And you can keep doing it again and again and again. But as far as what the encyclopedia says, man has never gotten gold to its purest form. Well, the Ten Commandments was used for that very same purpose. The Ten Commandments was used as an instrument to bring to the surface of our lives, or to bring to the surface of anyone who attempts to keep the Ten Commandments, would bring to the surface of their lives the impurity of their character. Such as in Scripture, it says, one of the Ten Commandments says, do not commit adultery. Well, the Ten Commandments, notice it says, do not. It's just like a finger pointing at somebody, like pointing at a child and saying, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie. But the Ten Commandments are in the form of do not. Now, it was pointing to creatures that do and telling them to don't. Remember what the definition of sin is. The definition of sin, found in 1 John 3:4, it says sin is a transgression of the law. The word transgression is a one-word definition. It means disobedience, or to have a rebellious attitude, or to be disobedient. Have a disobedient character about you, disobedient spirit. Okay? Now, the Ten Commandments, by saying do not, would then excite in man to do what he was told not to do. Has anyone ever told you, has your boss ever given you a command, don't do this, or your parents said don't do that when you were younger? What did it excite in you? It excited you. It excited that rebellious spirit inside. It excited that disobedient spirit inside. And it increased your excitability to do what you were told not to do. When a boss tells you don't do something, it just irritates you. It just grabs that spirit of rebelliousness, and you want to rebel because you were told not to do a specific thing. Stop and think about when a person goes right by you going 9 miles an hour and they dart off in front of you. That excitability, that feeling of excitability rises up, and you just want to go faster than they are. And even though you know what the speed limit is, you're going to go faster and getting back. The Ten Commandments were not made to make anybody perfect. It was made to bring to the surface the character, and where we are impure in our character. In other words, it was to expose sin that lived in us. It was to expose that sinful behavior, the rebellious spirit, that disobedient spirit that lives within us. It was to manifest and bring to the surface, just like the heat brings the dross up to the surface. So also, that was the purpose of the Ten Commandments as well. Now, Sister Mary, if you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews 7:19, where the Bible comes out and clearly shows us that the law does not make anybody perfect, and that the law does not make anybody good. It says here in Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect. For the law made nothing perfect. In other words, the law did not make anything good, but what the law did do, it showed us where we needed help. The law was made not to save us from sin, not to save us from hell, but it was to show us. The Ten Commandments, or the law, is God's x-ray machine. Just like the x-ray machine takes an x-ray of your body and finds whatever it is that's going wrong inside, finds tumors and many things such as this, finds imperfections in the body, well, that's the same thing. The Ten Commandments is God's x-ray machine, where it commands us to do not. It excites within us to do, excites and brings to the surface and shows and reveals to us our inside, the inside of our character, the inward man, us. And it shows us that there is something wrong with us on the inside, and that is that rebellious spirit, that rebellious, disobedient spirit that we have within. Again, Sister Mary, take your Bible and turn to Romans 7:7, and I'm going to read a little bit, and you'll see what I've been talking about is stated in Scripture. Romans 7:13, if you want to read it, you can see for yourself. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known about lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, or disobedience, taking excitement by the commandment, worked in me all manner of over-desire, for without the law, sin was dead. Now that, I don't have to read any further, but that is very clear there. It says exactly what we have talked about. It says, but disobedience, the word sin means disobedience, but disobedience, taking or getting excited by the command, do not, work in me all manner of over-desire. What kind of over-desire? Over-desire to disobey, over-desire to do the opposite from what the law said, do not. For without the law, sin was dead. In other words, it's simply saying that without the law and the command, do not, was given to me, that sin was not alive to me. But when I heard, do not, that would excite in me the excitability to perform that which I was told not to do. Verse 9 says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin came to life, and I died. Does that answer your question, Sister Mary?
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. If you would like a tape or CD of today's lesson, please write to promiseofgod.net, 545 Big Leaf Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78264. Or email us at t_sal@sbcglobal.net. Or you may call area code 210-626-1416 with your request for any of the broadcast lessons or questions or comments. See you next time at thepromiseofgod.net.